Welcome to Point of View on CFBU 103.7 FM. I'm your host, Shondor Liggett-Falvey, and today on the program, we're talking with Vice President of University Affairs, Roland Ehrman, who is coming into the studio to talk about USA, BUSU, and a variety of issues. We're also going to have on the program the President of Brock University Faculty Association, Dr. Linda Rose Krasner, who will be outlining the concerns that she raised in a letter that was sent to faculty. Before we get started on this week's program, I wanted to make a quick programming note about the direction that we're going to be taking moving forward as this school year approaches in September. This week's broadcast and next week's broadcast are both focused primarily on the President's Task Force. The week after that, on August 29th, we were going to be having a focus on student media. So we've invited the editor of the Brock Press, Tim Stacey, and the executive producer of Brock TV, Ryan Mocha, to join us on the program so that we can have a roundtable discussion about the important element of student media in the campus democracy to provide informed consent. The role of the media is to provide the body politic in a democracy with information, because the information itself is what we base our decisions upon. So we're going to have a conversation with them. The week of September 5th is the first week back at Brock University, and we're going to be providing an outline of how does the campus government operate? What is BUSAC? What is the Senate? What are the appropriate roles of the various figures, such as the executive, such as BUSAC representatives, such as Senate members, as we begin to participate in this community in a political way? It's important to understand the governance structure, which provides an outline of how we the roads we can take as we encounter various issues. I like to believe that the work that we're doing here and the work of media is to provide a bridge between the already existing resources and the people who need to access those resources. So the media provides the information gap, fills that gap, and that's the work we're going to be trying to do at the beginning of the semester with the September 5th episode. Thereafter, it will be the first BUSAC meeting of the year, and we are going to cover that, whatever happens. We're also going to be getting into, of course, the October referendums. We are now looking at, as we've been covering on this program, three referendums in October. One is a funding initiative out of the Strategic Expansion Fund for $1 million over 5 years for a artificial turf facility. The other referendum is a constitutional amendment, which would see the minimum petition amount go from 2% to 7%, and the minimum quorum amount, which is the number of people required for a vote to be considered valid, to go from 10% to 14%. As well, that referendum would have the Vice President of External Affairs position be take over the role of the Vice President of University Affairs. The VPEA position was created by referendum last semester, and this semester there will be a referendum to bring the total from 5 back down to 4. We're looking forward to talking to BUSU's President, Cooper Millard, about this referendum. He says that he'll be willing to come into the studio and have a conversation about both the constitutional amendment referendum as well as the funding initiative referendum for the artificial turf facility. The third referendum in October, as we know right now, is the Student Justice Center. And you can visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/POVradio, as well as our SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/POVradio. And you can find a supply of our archives, which includes an interview with the Student Justice Center's coordinator, Brandon Vryzen. And we had a 25-minute conversation a few weeks ago, and you can find that in our archive. To contact our show, please provide us with news tips. Let us know what your questions are about some of these topics that we're covering by emailing us at povradiobrock@gmail.com. The kind of things that we know so far that we're going to be covering in the new semester will include BUSAC, and engaging in a variety of interviews with various BUSAC representatives. Some topics will be the President's Task Force, the referendums, the food policy issues, ancillary fees, including the student life fee, student media, the Brock Sexual Violence Support Center, and so far. Further, we're going to delve into wider topics about St. Catharines and the Niagara region, so let us know what you want us to be looking into. We're joined now on the show by Vice President of University Affairs, Roland Ehrman. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
So tell us a little about yourself. What's your major and how long have you been in the Brock community? And we'll start with that.
Yeah, no problem. My major, I'm double majoring in psych and neuroscience. I've been at Brock now, this will be 6 years for my program, so definitely will be graduating after this year. But I've been part of a number of different things here at Brock. So worked in res as a dawn and head resident. I worked at Isaac's, also former BUSU event coordinator and former teaching assistant as well for undergrad first year. So,
and you're the Vice President of University Affairs, an elected position. So can you tell me, what is the Vice President of University Affairs?
Yeah.
And tell me a bit about your portfolio.
Yeah, no problem. The Vice President of University Affairs, basically what I do is I advocate on behalf of student needs and issues provincially and federally. So my groups are a part of OOSA, the Ontario Undergraduate Student Alliance, as well as CASA, the Canadian Alliance of Student Associations. So we do lots of work there, but as well, I have plenty of work to do on campus and internally. I am a voting member of Brock's University Senate, which is comprised of Brock faculty and Brock administration. As well within Senate, I sit on a number of different committees. So I sit on the Senate Governance Committee, which oversees Senate, as well as the Undergraduate Program Committee and the Undergraduate Student Affairs Committee. And then last year, I was elected for a two-year term to be the student representative on the Board of Trustees. So I sit on the Executive Committee there. I help oversee the university expenditure budget of $284 million. So it can be a pretty big commitment.
Today on the program, later in this episode, we're going to have Dr. Linda Rose Krasner from the Brock University Faculty Association to talk about the Brock Presidential Special Task Force, which has been announced. Regarding that, what would you say that the student union's role would be in what are the priorities for the student union or for students, for undergraduates in these circumstances? Can you tell me about the circumstances and your views on them?
Yeah, so the circumstances really came about. The university, again, has a budget of $284 million. This year's budget proposal has a deficit of around $14.5 million. The budget approval has to go through the Board of Trustees. So as a member on the board as well, I did help recommend the fact that the university has to get that deficit out of $14.5 million basically split in half. So the university is looking at around $7.5 million to scale back on in expenditure for this upcoming year. As a part of my role in Brock Senate and on trustees too, is that any kind of reviews that are being taken place on Brock University programs or any Brock University services, I think really what I have to give here is the student opinion. You know, I've been elected by students, I represent students, and I am a student. So whatever we're looking at doing to decrease the budget within the university, it can't be taken away from a student need. Whatever benefits Brock students is always something that I'm going to be fighting for. If there's a program or a service that's put in place that lots of students are benefiting from, sorry again to speak a little generally here, but this has really just come up this past month, so there's really no hard evidence on what necessarily is being looked at right now. But as long as there's something that serves a purpose for Brock students is always going to be at the forefront for me and something that I'll advocate towards keeping here.
Last week on the program, we had a discussion about the Ontario Undergraduate Student Alliance with someone who at Windsor ousted OOSA, or oust being their term, and also with the Vice President of Education of OOSA. BUSU is a member of OOSA. And can you tell me about what are its benefits and what are your priorities in working with the group?
Yeah, definitely. I think OOSA serves a really good purpose in terms of this group is highly connected. And by this group, I mean the full-time OOSA staff is highly connected and integrated within our provincial government. We've really only, OOSA has been around to work with two provincial governments. And this government is really in focus with what a bunch of our priorities are, I think, in terms of my role and taking things towards Brock, I always like to take a local spin and again, what's best for Brock students. We've created numerous campaigns in the past years, USA, educationally related. So we had the Blue Chair campaign, which I believe was talked about on your show last week. And we're working towards building new campaigns. I think there's a lot of different directions to go in, but one direction that I know that we talked about just a little bit before this was policy papers. And one of the policy papers that I'm definitely deciding to head is the ancillary fees paper. So I can speak a little bit about that if...
Yeah, the ancillary fee, you're writing a paper. Yeah, you're writing a paper about the ancillary fees in Ontario. So what is the premise of that? What are non-tuition related ancillary fees, and what will your focus be in this research paper?
Yeah, to speak very basically, some time ago, I believe in 1994, it was passed that no ancillary fees, no extra fees for students are allowed as if they cover anything that education is supposed to cover. So hypothetically speaking, if I run the Roland Erman referendum or I have the Roland Erman ancillary fee and it's $10 and that goes directly towards education, well, that shouldn't exist because really speaking, you're already paying tuition and that should be covering your education. So what I'm doing right now is what the paper is going to serve is there's ancillary fees that cover all sorts of different aspects in all the different universities in Ontario. I'm going to be making kind of policing those ancillary fees. No one's really set in place to specifically look at school by school by school and ancillary fee by ancillary fee. So the paper is really meant to look at all the ancillary fees that each university has and ensure that they're there for the right purposes and they're not covering education.
And here at Brock, there's a new referendum implementation review committee. Does that mean that there's some policing going on for the referendums and ancillary fees here on Brock campus?
Absolutely, there will be. You look at the student life fee, it was a debated issue where there were students that were for it and there were students that are against it. And every year, too, there are different referendums that could get proposed that will need some strong review. So what we've done is within BUSAC, our student council, is we're going to have a referendum review and implementation committee. So hypothetically speaking, say, again, I want to run the Roland Erman referendum fee, and it's not structured too well. Well, one, I could probably go to this committee and present my referendum idea, in which I would get a lot of feedback that it's probably not very strong and shouldn't go to the student union to waste individuals' time. But if for some reason I have a really strong backing behind it, you know, and I provide budget lines and exactly what I'm doing with that money and it got approved, well, the referendum review and implementation committee would be there to ensure that the mandate that I've set and that my budget that I've set, you know, I'm meeting those requirements and I'm constantly being monitored that I'm doing the right thing and I'm doing what students voted for and why they voted yes.
And the other issue would be compliance itself, compliance with the Ministry of Training, Colleges and Universities Operating Funding Distribution Manual, Section 5.2, which specifies non-tuition-based ancillary fees. So that is the essential premise of both your USA paper and perhaps this committee. Is there a crossover or tie-in between those things, specifically on not is it a good fee or a bad fee? Is it compliant? I think is the essential question that I would be raising.
Yeah, it's funny. I've never really thought of that as a tie-in, but again, when we're sitting here discussing it, it absolutely is. I'm writing an ancillary fees paper that looks over all the university ancillary fees, ensuring that they're there for the right reasons. And then within our student union, we will be putting in a referendum review and implementation committee. That potentially right there is a recommendation to put towards all other universities and schools within Ontario too, which I think it would be really, really cool. And in a way then really get individual schools and individual student councils to police themselves as well.
One of the largest referendums in recent memory is the $20 per credit student life fee, which you alluded to. How do we ensure that this fee will be a partnership? Division One of BUSU is about $1.5 million. The student life fee generates about $1.5 million. And so this is a rather large, substantial issue that I think is going to be continued to be looked at in the coming year. So how do we ensure partnership and transparency regarding the student life fee itself?
Yeah, that's a great question. I really think we ensure transparency and we ensure that the fee is there for all the right reasons by using our executive team. And if I can help out in that aspect, then I will absolutely. There is designated money that's meant to go directly towards mental health, which I've said I've sat down with Melody Sheik-Porter of Health Services and other individuals within Health Services and Professional Counseling Services. And I've been asked my expertise on where student money should be going towards mental health. It was no surprise that when I campaigned for vice president of university affairs, one of my big platform points was mental health. It's something I've done lots of reading upon. It's 4 in 10 students within their university career will deal with a mental health issue. On top of that, over 60% of students, they won't say anything, and you won't know that there is a problem there. So I've really worked hard on trying to get myself educated with all sorts of mental health initiatives, and if there really is a partnership there to want my expertise on behalf of students and anything that the student life fee money is implemented towards for mental health, I'll be putting my 2 cents in as well. I'll be going to BUSAC counselors and other individuals within the school, other students within the school, and make sure that, you know, these initiatives are good and will really serve a purpose. So right now we're in the very preliminary aspect of that, but 100% from the executive standpoint, we need to be really having discussions with the university on all areas of the student life fee and ensure that, you know, everything is going towards benefiting Brock students, which I've probably said a number of times.
We've got to take a break for some messages, but later on the program, we have the BUFU president, Dr. Linda Rose Krasner, who provides us with an outline of the Faculty Association's concerns regarding the president's task force. Stay with CFBU 103.7 FM, truly diverse radio.
Are you tired of cheesy mainstream cultural affairs radio program with its gratuitous nudity, slide whistle sound effects, and crash shoe phone giveaways? If so, you're tuned to the perfect frequency on your FM radio dial. The Pizza Box Cadillac Radio Hour ain't about the gimmicks and the doodahs and the fancy pants whatnots. The Pizza Box Cadillac serves up a gritty, unpretentious, keeping it real brand of cultural reportage that can only be described as authentastic. Tune in every Friday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern Time when the Pizza Box Cadillac Hour begins radiating across the airwaves live from the Welland House in beautiful downtown St. Catharines.
Canadians are being bought and sold. We can no longer ignore this reality. Each of the 27 million human trafficking victims around the globe has a unique story. 80% of victims are women. 50% are children. This is not only a global injustice, but a local reality. It is happening right now in my community. We are asking you to take action today. Visit endexploitation.com. Get informed and take action. British anti-slavery leader William Wilberforce once said, "Having heard all this, you may choose to look the other way, but you can never say again that you did not know. Only question now is what will you do?" Join us and help eliminate human slavery in Canada.
Welcome back to Point of View. I'm your host, Chandra Ligatfalvi. We're in the middle of a conversation with BUSU Vice President of University Affairs, Roland Ehrman. Let's talk about the Brock Sexual Violence Support Center. This past summer lost its temporary on-campus base, and from my understanding, is sort of floating in between locations. space for organizations on campus has been an issue. Well, what are the progressive steps being taken moving forward to try to resolve some of these things?
Yeah, it's tough. Right now, the university operates at capacity. Every single room is at full capacity and booked from 8 in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. So right now, again, it's in camera confidential ideas, but on a board of trustees level, there has been ways generated that will free up hopefully some space. And then from a executive and student union standpoint, you know, it's going to be trying to advocate to get space, to find space for our clubs, for the Brock Sexual Support Center. Student Justice Center was having a hard time finding space, and we were able to implement them into our collaboratorium, which was our food bank last year and was 2 years ago our second convenience store on campus. So now the Student Justice Center has legitimate space, and we're going to – it's a thing on my list to do, always trying to advocate and find space for – an important space, you know, for the Brock Sexual Support Center, but for other clubs and for other groups within Brock as well.
Have you been to the York University Student Union? I mean, I've been there, and there's on the ground level, there's the fast food, and then there's three floors and perhaps almost 150, well, maybe I'm over-exaggerating, but dozens of offices for nearly every club. They have office space. I guess the question really is, what are the steps being made towards a new building? This is something that it's been talked about. I know Dowd talked about it in his campaign and in his walking and talking with Dowd on Brock TV. I know that it's been a priority in the past. How much of a priority is a new building, and where would it be? What would it be like? Where are we at with this new building?
Well, first off, I don't think you're too far off. There might be 150 offices there. York University is pretty big, 40,000 students. So I have been, and I have seen that their campus there as well. Where we are right now is, and I'm sure our president Cooper can speak to this a lot as well, but we're in planning stages. So we have space secured. Yesterday we were at breakfast with Dr. Jack Lightstone. He's ensured us that at Weather Station Field, that space is secured for whenever we would like to start constructing a new student union building, that will be there. But we want to make sure that what we put into the student union building outside of space, anything else that we add in there is beneficial to Brock students and it's what Brock students want. So we are planning some focus groups to talk to students and to find out, hey, do you want A, B, and C, or leave it open-ended? And they can tell us if they want D and E. I mean, student union buildings have ranged from, it does escape me right now what student union building has it, but they have a slide in their building. UBC has a really unique student union building in that they run kind of mini vendor fairs throughout their entire student union building all year long for clubs. They legitimately have club space in the hallways for specific clubs all year. You know, I think that's really cool. I know when Dowd ran for president, he had in his platform putting a Busu run grocery store inside of the student union building, which if that is very cheap and helps save money and it is local and is cheaper than the competitors around the area of where we're located, I think that's a great idea too. If Village students want to come and buy groceries, but we have to make sure that this is what students want, and we have to run focus groups right now and really find out what issues and what needs there are, because when we go to build this, I mean, it's pretty much final at that point. So,
how involved is your position in Brock off campus? And for example, if students living off campus find themselves perhaps not being treated with the amount of respect that they deserve, is Busu an organization that can field those sort of complaints? And if so, what's that process like?
Yeah, absolutely. We can. I know my predecessor, Steve Nichols, was really big on working with off-campus and student housing conditions. One of the things I'm looking at this year, too, is we have a really renowned system at Brock that not a lot of other universities have in terms of our off-campus services that we offer where students can go and they can issue complaints, and we will try and advocate on behalf of them. So I'm looking to do some work with Curtis Gadula, who is in charge of running off campus. He's the off campus manager there as well. Absolutely. If there are issues that, you know, don't necessarily face our students outside of tuition, outside of education, you know, so right now on a provincial level, what we're doing with USA is we're starting to build towards implementation for a new campaign called OSAP Cribs. So it's kind of like MTV Cribs, where if you've seen athletes though, or performers will show off their $4 or $5 million homes, not $4 or $5 homes. That wouldn't be too interesting, but $4 or $5 million homes. And what we're looking at right now is that OSAP allocates for roughly just over $500 per month per rent. So in St. Catharines, average rent is around $425. So that is livable still. But in other areas in Ontario, you know, $500, you might need a little bit more. The idea is to get a television crew in there, such as a Brock TV, show student housing off and show student housing conditions off. And in a local aspect of things, even though OSAP $500 does roughly pay for living arrangements here, perhaps the living arrangements aren't really of high quality. So if students want to come out and they want to discuss their living arrangements and show off some of their bad conditions, I mean, that already speaks to me needing to advocate on behalf of better living arrangements. So again, if there are student issues that individuals face in housing, as I have too, and I think a lot of my friends have, there's avenues that I want to take to try and better things there and through this program within USA, but also through just contacting me too, and with the work that I'll be looking to do with our off-campus department as well.
How can we contact you, and what should the focus be when people need to reach out to the VPUA?
First off, focus is if there's any need or there's any issue, whether it be on an educational aspect of things, off-campus living, any mental health aspect as well, any issue students face, come talk to myself, contact the executive team. Pretty easy to get a hold of. My number, obviously, the school extension is 905-688-5550. My extension is 4198. Obviously, what's more in these days is Facebook and Twitter. So I've had students Facebook me before, and I'll always get back to them right away. I think that's one of the most important things. Roland Erman, R-O-L-A-N-D-E-R-M-A-N. Same thing for my Twitter. It's at Roland Erman, as well as emailing me at vpua@busu.net. No matter what I'm doing, I really want to make it a goal that, you know, any student need, any student issue, any student question, that gets first priority. If I need to work at 8 o'clock at night and finish up the rest of my project because I had to talk to a student about an issue, I will happily do that. I was elected by students, and whether individuals voted for me or they didn't, you know, this is my one year, my one opportunity to try and help out as best I can. So nobody should hesitate to contact me.
Thanks so much for coming in, Roland.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
CFBU 103.7 FM, truly diverse radio.
And welcome back to Point of View with Chandra Ligatvalvi. I'm joined in the studio now by Brock University Faculty Association President, Dr. Linda Rose Krasner, who weeks ago published a letter to the faculty which raises a red flag amid, quote, serious concerns about the legitimacy of the president's task force. Dr. Rose Krasner mentions major reservations and serious concerns regarding the existence and structure of the task force, saying that BUFA is not opposed to program reviews in principle, that the faculty association has, quote, serious concerns about the legitimacy of this special task force and the review process set up by Dr. Lightstone. Rose Krasner argues restructuring must be done in a manner that follows sound academic principles, is fair and transparent, and is consistent with the assigned responsibilities and processes identified by the Brock Act, faculty handbook, and our collective agreement, noting that this task force makes inroads around Senate's responsibility, which has the responsibility to do academic reviews, to not, quote, have our programs scrutinized, compared, and judged by an ad hoc, presidentially appointed group. So we have Dr. Rose Krasner in the studio with us. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to be here and to talk about this important issue.
So in your letter, you identified three major concerns that you have right now. I was hoping we could go through a few of them. So let's get started on that.
Okay, thanks. I think the first one has to do with what we see as a question of the legitimacy of the committee itself, and that has two parts. One is that we believe the committee is infringing on Senate's legislative responsibility to do the academic review of programs. And the second part of the legitimacy issue is the structure and composition of the committee itself. To talk a little bit more about the responsibility of Senate versus the responsibility of this committee, I can refer to the Brock Act, which gives Senate the ultimate responsibility to monitor and maintain the quality of academic programming at the university. This ad hoc committee set up by the president and responsible to the president is infringing on this responsibility in reviewing these programs outside of the Senate context.
And so why now? Why is this task force taking place at this moment and with this structure from the perspective of BUFA? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, the president has put the creation of the task force in the context of an financial crisis at the university. This is a type of approach in which there is a presidential task force set up outside of Senate, is one that has been taken by a number of universities, some in Ontario, some outside of Ontario, as a way of restructuring and rearranging and redeploying resources, at least partly in an attempt to save money.
What are the risks associated with a task force like this? If, as you say, the Senate's responsibility has been, inroads have been made around it, then what are the risks in allowing that?
The monitoring and guaranteeing of academic quality is to be necessarily in the hands of academics. And that this relates to the second concern around the legitimacy of the task force, which is its composition. There is a large majority of administrative and non-administrative students and staff members, such that non-administrative faculty are a very small minority on the committee. And so the committee really doesn't have the expertise or the background to adequately make an academic assessment of these programs. Further, there are large segments of the university that are not represented on this committee. The committee has no representation from the library, no representation from the Goodman School of Business, and no representation from the Faculty of Social Sciences.
So what we're looking at is a task force which is putting things like parking and academic programs in lumping them together in the same group of concerns, academic and administrative issues. How does that compare to, say, how task forces are done at other universities? And what information do you have about these sort of task force at those other universities?
Okay, let me just back up for a minute and talk about that. One of the end products of the recommendations from this task force are to rank all of the programs at the university, both academic and non-academic, and put them into a hierarchical set of categories, the top 20% of programs, next 20%, and so on down to the bottom 20%. The top 20% could be getting additional funding. The bottom 20% would be looking at reduced funding, significant cuts, consolidation with other programs, or termination of those programs. So when we talk about the ranking of academic and non-academic programs, we're talking about putting all of those programs in this same sort of continuum. And it just seems very difficult to figure out how one's going to compare the essentialness and the quality and the whether the how well each program represents the core values of the university when comparing things like English versus parking. The University of Saskatchewan, for example, has set up two separate committees, one to look at academics and one to look at more administrative programs as a way of trying to get around that problem.
So the context that this is being presented in is as a budgetary crisis. Bufa in the letter has expressed perhaps some skepticism in the numbers themselves. Can you outline that that point of view that Bufa has regarding the money, the budgetary issue at hand?
Bufa has some concerns about the being able to judge on its own the extent to which the budget crisis exists at the university. It has been not uncommon at other universities for administration to present budgets which do not necessarily match the actual financial situation of the university. For example, one of the differences between the budget, which is what we've been given, and the sort of financial statements that are used by auditors and so on have to do with the independent scrutiny of the numbers, the level of detail at which expenditures and expenses and income are presented, and so on. So Bufa is looking to get more information from the administration to make our own determination of the extent of the budget crisis.
And in your letter, specifying that a budgetary advisory committee is going to be formed by Bufa, can you tell me about its process and objectives?
Yes, we have a committee formed of three people, two are faculty members from accounting and one from another department in the business faculty. And they're now preparing a list of information that they would like to request from the administration, hopefully to present it to them in the next couple of weeks and take it from there.
This review process is being called a Dixon-like review process. So who is Dixon, and what are the sort of principles that Dixon's about, and how does that apply to what this task force is going to be proceeding with?
Robert Dixon is an American consultant who has become very popular with university administrations in their efforts to reduce costs and restructure programs. He has been used by a number of universities now in Canada, Guelph, Laurier, Regina, Saskatchewan, to provide a framework for their program reviews. We know that the administration has read the Dixon book. We know that the task force members have been given the Dixon book, and that his work has provided a sort of jumping off point for the committee. The Dixon process is for a task force such as the one that has been created at Brock to meet to determine what the definition of a program is, what criteria they want to use to evaluate the programs, to collect data from each program on those criteria, and then to do the kind of ranking that I talked about in terms of the top 20, second 20%, and so on. The criteria that Dixon proposes to be used are things like the expectations and goals of each program, the quality of the inputs of each program, and in some sense that might be things like the grades of the students going into the program, the publications of the faculty you teach in the program, looks at the quality of program outputs, it looks at demands for the program in terms of how many students want to go in, it looks at resources used, costs, and things like that.
So BUFA has been in contact with the chairs of the task force. What are the kind of requests or perspectives that BUFA has brought forward to the task force in terms of what you'd like to see moving forward?
We have just recently met with the chairs of the co-chairs of the task force, Murray Canutola, who is the provost and academic VP, and Brian Hutchings, who is the vice president, finance and administration, and conveyed to them our concerns. They listened carefully. We asked them to bring some specific issues back to the committee for consideration. One of those is our request that the committee the task force meetings be open so that any member of the university community can attend, that the minutes of those meetings be posted online, that all of the submissions of each of the programs describing their programs be also available online, and that the task force reconsider its decision not to have representation from every faculty in the library.
Is there a way that this task force can become a positive for the Brock community? And if so, what is required to make that the case? Is a win-win scenario out of this?
We think that the process is fundamentally flawed as it is currently set up. The Faculty Association is not against program reviews in general, but we believe that the reviews of academic programs needs to stay within the Senate and not be outsourced to the ad hoc committee. BUFA itself doesn't have an ideal model for the program review, but these are some of the principles that we think such a program review should have.
We'll be right back to continue our discussion with Dr. Linda Rose Krasner, who is the president of the Brock University Faculty Association. You're listening to CFBU 103.7 FM. Stay tuned.
Are you currently in school and need volunteer hours? Or are you just looking to give back to your community? Either way, Epilepsy Niagara would like to speak to you. Epilepsy Niagara works throughout the entire Niagara region to help support people affected by epilepsy and their families. Did you know that there are approximately 5,000 people in the Niagara region living with epilepsy or a seizure disorder? Epilepsy Niagara has several fundraisers throughout the year to help raise funds to continue to offer programs to those who need them. By volunteering to help out, you'll not only be having fun and making the event successful, you'll also be helping to continue to educate and create public awareness about epilepsy. If you'd like to get involved and help out as a volunteer at Epilepsy Niagara, give them a call at 905-353-1096 or log on to their website at epilepsyniagara.org.
When someone mentions football, do you think of the FA Cup, not the Super Bowl? Do you think Little Britain is 10 times funnier than anything on U.S. network television? If you answered yes to either of these, then you're ready to expand your musical horizons with The British Are Coming. 2 hours of the best in British alternative, rock, and electronica from the past 30 years. Join me, DJ Matt D, every Wednesday at 11 as we bring music from across the pond onto your radio on CFBU 103.7 FM.
What are the risks of mismanagement of a task force, of an ad hoc, in your words, ad hoc committee that makes inroads around the Senate? What can be lost if the people don't pay attention and the faculty doesn't pay attention and this task force proceeds without any attention given to it?
Well, I think we can look at some of the other universities to see what's happening to recognize some of the potential dangers. From the student's point of view, one of the things that's happened is as programs get closed, students have less choice and variety in terms of options for education. As costs become the primary driver of such decisions. We move to models that may have a lot less faculty-student contact, which is some of the more expensive aspects of teaching. We risk the loss of programs that may be essential to the university but don't draw in a lot of students, or programs that are really very important to the people, the community, but are costly.
Perhaps this question is a little more fundamental of a question, but it's that are we observing another case of education as a commodity, education as a for-profit center, as opposed to education as a betterment of the mind? And is that really what we're almost talking about? I mean, we're looking at an organization that is making cost-cutting, is going to be eliminating or rearranging programs. Are we losing the academic imperative in favor of a money-based issue?
Yes. I think that we are all concerned with the economic situation of the university. And I think that the balance between the academic mission of the university, which is really what it's all about, and the need, the financial needs, that balance needs to be very carefully considered. And a task force which is focused on quantitative data largely, which has a very short time frame to make its decisions, which is not consultative, at least to this point, and the plans for consultation seem quite vague, that such a process is likely to fall into that commercialization quite easily.
Now, when I first heard of this task force, I found myself interested in the Sunshine List. I Googled the Sunshine List and found the Brock University Sunshine List. I added up all of the administrators who and faculty, I suppose I should say. Everyone in the Brock University payroll is about 525 people who make more than $100,000 a year. The total of that being approximately $72 million. For those 525 individuals. And it's just a data point that we began in our analysis because, as you mentioned, we are lacking some of the information in order to make an assessment. So that was how I began my research is by, okay, well, what does the Sunshine List say? And if you look at the chart of the Sunshine List, you'll see that 475 of the individuals are on a slight slope. And then there's about 12 individuals and there's a sudden spike. And there's about 12 individuals who make twice as much as the average of the rest of the Sunshine List. And I'm not sure if this is directly relevant to the points you're raising, but perhaps you might have some thoughts on that topic.
One of the things that has come out of other universities' experience when they've looked at the budget more closely and the financial statements more closely is the growth in expenditures at senior administrative levels. The number of associate vice presidents, the size of the administrative offices, the amount of executive travel overseas and so on has eaten up quite a bit of the budget increase in a lot of these universities. So this is part of the information that the union would like to see as it examines the university's budgets, because if this is driving at least a significant portion of the deficit, we should know about that.
We've been talking with Dr. Linda Rose Krasnor, president of the Brock University Faculty Association. And for more information about this, where can individuals find out and contact you? How can we reach you?
You can reach me at the BUFA office, BUFA, B-U-F-A, at brocku.ca, and we will get back to you. And I would also like to add that the Faculty Association encourages everyone to express their opinions and their questions on this issue to the union, to the students' union, to the graduate students' union, to the president, to the task force, to everyone, to their colleagues, to their senators, so that everyone's opinion is heard.
That's it for this week's episode of Point of View. If you missed the broadcast, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/POV Radio. We're also able to be reached on soundcloud.com/POV Radio. Email us at povradiobrock@gmail.com. Next week on the show, we continue the conversation about the President's Task Force. We speak with the co-chair of the task force, Murray Knudela. As well, we're hoping to have BUSU President Cooper Millard in the studio to talk about a variety of issues, from the task force to the referendums to the general direction of BUSU in the coming year. Stay tuned to CFBU 103.7 FM, and our show broadcasts every Thursday at 2 p.m. Thanks for tuning in.